Of course, as fans, we're hoping for a great Jets 2022 season with plenty of wins and players taking home some awards, but what do the odds makers have to say? We're talking Jets odds on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Thursday, August 18th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. And I thank you for making the show your first listen or your first watch every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button. You'll never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Joining me today is my friend Kyle Newman, who works with Odds Checker. He's an expert when it comes to NFL odds. And before the start of the season, I always like to check in on what the odds are for the Jets and the rest of the league. And why do I like to do that? Well, as fans, we're not always objective. We always look at things optimistically. We maybe sometimes a little bit too optimistically. Odds are a good way of staying objective because odds makers have to be accurate in order to stay in business. They're not always right, but they're right more often than they're wrong. So my friend Kyle joins me today, and he's going to tell us what the odds makers think of the Jets in 2022. As a note, all of these odds are provided by our partners at BetOnline. So let's jump into my chat with Kyle Newman of Odds Checker. Joining me today is Kyle Newman of Odds Checker. We're going to go through some odds as we approach the beginning of the 2022 NFL season. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here, John.
All right, well, let's begin at the thing that's on everybody's mind, Jets Super Bowl odds. This is the year the Jets are going all the way, isn't it?
Probably not. But to be fair, the Jets are given plus 10,000 odds right now. It means they have a 1% chance to win the Super Bowl. Those odds are actually better than what the Bengals had last year. So you have that going for you. Bettors and odds makers kind of see them pretty equally. It's really weird. They're ranked 24th on both the odds and betting market. What was it? 0.9% of bets over the last 30 days have been on the Jets. And that's a pretty steep drop off because there was a time prior to training camp that the Jets were among the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. I think about a month ago, they were second behind only the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, there was a real dose of optimism and people were drinking the Kool-Aid and then camp started and some injuries happened. And, you know, there aren't the most flattering reports on some of the young guys and everything kind of just collapsed on itself. And all that optimism turned into disappointment before even a game was played.
Well, it's going to make Uncle John be some money, though, because my Uncle John told me he went down to Atlantic City, put $100 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl. So he's going to make a lot of money.
There you go.
Well, you know, I actually have a good story from this. It's a friend of a friend in college. You know, this is a Patriots fan, so nobody's going to feel bad about this. But this guy actually lost $5 million on Super Bowl 42 because of a bet he placed in August of 2007 when the Patriots had 50,000-1 odds to go undefeated that year. He put $100 down on it. It was 07, so that's the year New England went 18-0, played the Giants in the Super Bowl. And he lost, so he lost $5 million on that game. And nobody's going to feel bad for him because he's a Patriots fan, but the second part of that story is the casino actually offered him $1 million before that game. So that's, I think that I don't know if anybody's going to approach that level of pain with the Jets this year.
No, probably not. I mean, what the Bengals did last year is historical from an odds maker's point of view. So we have, you know, sports betting odds going all the way back into the 1970s for the Super Bowl. And the Bengals are only the second team in the history of the NFL to go from bottom three in preseason odds to the Super Bowl. The only other team that ever did it was the Greatest Show on Turf Rams. They remain the only team to ever actually go on and win the Super Bowl that year. But of course, you know, that team had the talent and everyone was just worried about, you know, the quarterback, because Kurt Warner at the time was still you know, the bag boy who came back. He wasn't that superstar level guy that he turned out to be that year. And obviously Marshall Faulk had, you know, a thousand year that year, and Holt and Bruce, and, you know, that offense was just unrivaled.
And so you're telling me there's a chance, because the Jets are not in the bottom three, right?
No, they're not. They're in they're 24th right now in Super Bowl odds. They're right there. I mean, they're ahead of the Giants and the Texans and the Jaguars and the Bears, you know, all the rest of those lowly teams, but they're not at playoff level yet. Like, sports books don't think they're there. They still think they're going to be in fourth place in the AFC East, but you know, they're at least taking a step forward from, you know, probably a bottom five pick to, hey, maybe, you know, they have a top 10 pick instead of a top five pick.
And I always feel like there's not that big of a gap between, you know, teams in that range and the play. I mean, it could just be a couple of lucky bounces that get you to the playoffs if you're in that range.
Yeah, and especially now that we have seven teams, we have a third wild card team. You know, the difference, like, the Seahawks went 7-9 last year. That got them the ninth pick in the 10th pick in the draft that eventually went to the Jets. But, you know, the difference between, or I should say 7-10, because we play 17 games now. But, you know, the difference between winning seven games and winning nine games and, you know, getting into that last spot is, you know, a lucky bounce here, a missed field goal there. It's not a lot.
I mean, Adam Gase's first season, the Jets went 7-9. All that was between them and making the playoffs was not blowing a 16-0 lead in the last 16 minutes against Buffalo, and then beating the then winless Dolphins and the then winless Bengals. There, you're at 10 wins and you're in. So it's really not that big.
I mean, they didn't even need that. I think at the time they owned the tiebreaker on the Steelers. So had they just beaten the Bills, just hold on in that fourth quarter and win that game, and then just win one of those two games, they all had to do was beat the Bengals or Dolphins once, and they would have been in the playoffs, and then you never know what happens.
Of course, today we're talking about Jets odds. The Jets are gearing up for the fall, as the 2022 season will begin in a couple of weeks. And as you gear up for the fall, you might need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. That's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it much easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Now, when I check LinkedIn Jobs, I'm hoping the Locked On Podcast Network is not advertising for a new Locked On Jets host. I have not seen that yet, so I guess that's a good sign for me. But you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help find you the right people to hire. There are simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. AFC East odds. Seems like, as you mentioned, not a lot of optimism for the Jets in the division.
No, so the Bills are, you know, the clear favorites, and then the Dolphins and Patriots are—they're there, you know, they're around, they're gonna compete, because the Patriots obviously went to the playoffs last year, and even though they took a step back in the eyes of most, you know, Bill Belichick's still there. He's usually very good at knowing who to let go, who to bring in, so no one's ever gonna discount them, even when they lose guys like J.C. Jackson in the offseason. And the Dolphins obviously made some huge moves this offseason, bringing in guys like Tyreek Hill. So they're expected to, at the very least, compete for a playoff spot, if not, you know, make the playoffs in general. And so that leaves the Jets in kind of a no man's land at the bottom of the division. At plus 2,000 odds, you know, to show the gap, the Dolphins are third and they're at plus 400. So there's a pretty giant gap between the Jets and the rest of the AFC East at this point. And it shows in the betting. I mean, 3.1% of bets over the last 30 days are on the Jets. Like, nobody's really thinking the Jets are going to compete in the AFC East here. But that also has to do with how competitive the division is expected to be. So you can see, even if they take that step forward and they become that, you know, seven win team that, you know, people are kind of expecting, hoping for, that they need to do in this year. Even if they take that step, it's not going to be, you know, enough to compete with the rest of the division.
Now, looking at the MVP race, Zach Wilson, the most notable, I guess, member of the Jets. It doesn't seem like the Jets have a lot of MVP buzz. I don't love Zach Wilson as the MVP candidate. I don't think Zach Wilson needs to be in the MVP race for it to be a successful season. But the way I look at this team, I think this is a team that's built to run the ball more than have the quarterback in the, you know, the shotgun all day, throwing the ball all over the field.
No, yeah, I mean, this is the Shanahan offense. You know, whether it's Kyle or Mike, the offense has always been run the ball first, take what the defense gives you, and when the defense is ready to break, then beat them through the air. Make, force them in, and then go. And that's kind of how, you know, when you look at the 49ers' best years under Kyle Shanahan, it's always been run, 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 run. Okay, now it's time to start hitting these quick hitters. Now that everyone's up, now we can start going long. Now they're playing back, run it up their throat again. And it's just this vicious cycle. And with the Jets, you know, they finally have that committee that you feel pretty comfortable with in Carter and Hall. And so the idea is that that's going to open up the offense for Zach Wilson, you know, when he's healthy. And odds makers don't really like Zach Wilson, you know, plus 20,000 to win the MVP. It's pretty terrible odds, 38th in the NFL. So, you know, not even basically every team in the NFL has someone with better odds plus them and then Zach Wilson. But bettors really like Zach Wilson. I don't know what it is, but ever since, you know, the MILF story and stuff like that started coming out, people have been all over Wilson, and it's been all off season now. And now, even with the injury, you know, the last 30 days, 7.4% of bets are on him, and that's the fifth most in the NFL to win MVP. So I guess we really shouldn't be surprised, considering last year he was the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year at this time.
I'm proud that we made it to August 17th before we mentioned that Zach Wilson story here on the podcast. I think I've tried to get as long as I could without mentioning it. And here we are, August 18th, and we finally mentioned it for the first time. And pertaining to Zach Wilson's MVP odds, which is interesting, but let's move on. So, you know, I don't love Zach Wilson as an MVP candidate, but Breece Hall seems like he's got a really good shot, especially for a guy in the second round to be Rookie of the Year, which I guess it's not surprising because you expect an award like that probably is going to go to a quarterback or a running back. And this is not viewed as a great quarterback class, which could potentially open the door for somebody like Hall as the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No, yeah. Breece Hall is really loved on the market by sports bettors, plus 900. So that's a 10% chance to win, which has him third in the NFL. So only people who have better odds are Kenny Pickett, because obviously he's a quarterback, though we'll see what those odds look like if he's not starting week one, because that would obviously shift things. And then the other guy who's the current favorite is George Pickens. So Pickens was buried on the odds market. Then he has a great camp. He comes out. He has a really good preseason, first game of the preseason. Now he's at the top of the market. So we'll see what goes on, what happens there. This was obviously a very stacked wide receiver class this year, as it kind of feels like it is every year at this point. So they're going to be big players there, and the Jets have their own guy with Garrett Wilson at plus 2000. He's 14th on the market. People have really soured on him as of late. But Breece Hall is really up there, and you can see, I mean, he's sixth in the NFL in bets here at 4%. So he's definitely going to be in the mix. Garrett Wilson, not really so much. Bettors don't even have them among his top 25 most bet on rookies right now. But Breece Hall is definitely going to be there. It's really going to be a question about how much the committee takes away from him, because, you know, these Rookie of the Year awards are very much heavily stats-based. So if he leads all rookie running backs and rushing yards, he scores some touchdowns, he'll be there.
The thing that worries me is I've been hyping him up so much since the Jets drafted him, that's got to be a bad omen, because whenever I hype somebody up this much, they end up being a massive disappointment. But I think Garrett Wilson, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about how, you know, first of all, I don't know that the Jets are going to be like a big time passing based offense, but beyond that, there are lots of other players who are going to spread these targets out around. What do you got? Corey Davis back. You've got Elijah Moore, obviously second year, looking for a big leap from him. He's even having the tight ends and the running backs are both, you know, both Carter and Hall have receiving ability. So I can see why Garrett Wilson may have tough odds. It's just a question of how many targets he's going to get.
No, well, yeah, and I mean, it's tough because, you know, Treylon Burks was really loved on the odds market early on, and he was in a similar situation. He's in a very run-heavy offense, and he's kind of fallen off now too, though his seems to be more performance-based than Garrett Wilson's is. But, you know, it's – I mean, Romeo Dubs is another guy who they love on the betting market or on the odds market. Market now, you know, a day three pick who has risen really high because Aaron Rodgers is going to throw him the ball. And who else is there in Green Bay to catch the ball right now? Because they just let everyone lead. It's like it's Dubs or Randall Cobb at this point. And so if they're going to keep force feeding the ball to Dubs, then he has a chance. Garrett Wilson's not going to get force fed. Though we'll see what happens with the Jets and whether it'll be run heavy this year or not, because the Jets were dead last in the NFL in rushing attempts last year, despite being a run heavy offense because they were down 14 points every game. So if the defense doesn't pick it up, we might see more Garrett Wilson than we think.
See, I'd love Garrett Wilson on certain Jets teams in the past when they had no receiving talent, because the way he runs routes, he's going to get open frequently. I think this Jets team, because they've actually done a decent job putting quality players on the field, that might just reduce the targets even if they do throw more. Whereas like maybe 5 years ago, I'd be really high on Garrett Wilson winning Rookie of the Year.
No, yeah, and I think the Jets are certainly more stacked on offense than they have been in quite a long time, especially with young talent. And we still don't even know if Garrett Wilson's going to start yet, because on the initial depth charts we have, he is a backup wide receiver because he's not starting in the slot, because that's going to be Braxton Berrios' spot. So, you know, we saw early on in the first preseason game, he mostly ran with the ones. He didn't really take a lot of snaps with the twos. So you would think that that would lend itself to him being a starter. But it's something to watch as we continue to go through preseason, because if he doesn't establish himself as a very clear week one starter, it's going to be difficult for him to keep pace with the rest of a very talented offensive rookie class.
Now, interestingly, on the defensive side of the ball, there are two Jets who are in the top seven as far as odds go. Jermaine Johnson, who's fifth, Sauce Gardner, who's seventh. I don't love either of these guys that we're just talking. I like both players. I just don't love them defensive rookie of the year. I think Johnson's going to be rotating in and out. And I feel like for a corner to get it, it's you kind of got to get it lucky, because I'd imagine for a corner to win rookie of the year, they probably have to post big interception numbers, which are kind of tough to predict.
No, yeah, and it's going to be hard for Sauce. And you kind of got a glimpse of that in his first game as a Jet in the first preseason game. He was the starting cornerback one. And he went out there and he took 11 coverage snaps and they didn't throw the ball in once. And it's just so hard for cornerbacks to shine when they are great. And we kind of saw it with Revis in a way, where Revis lost a defensive player of the year to Charles Woodson simply because people didn't throw the ball at Darrell Revis. I mean, Woodson had like 7 picks that year. He was very good. You know, people loved him, but Revis shut down what ended up being 9 Hall of Fame wide receivers on the schedule that year. So it's just hard when nobody's throwing your way. And that's kind of why when you look at Sauce Gardner, you know, he's not on the top 25 most bet on rookies for defensive rookie of the year, because if he's great, no one's throwing the ball at him because the Jets don't have much talent anywhere else. And if he's not good and they are throwing the ball at him, then that means, you know, there's issues there.
Anybody watching on YouTube saw the way my face changed when you brought up that Revis award. To this day, 13 years later, I'm still angry over that joke of a joke of a vote.
No, yeah, it upset me. It still upsets me. I mean, Charles Woodson had a phenomenal year, and everyone knows that he was great. But when you hold what it ended up being 9 Hall of Fame wide receivers to 35 yards or under that year. It doesn't make sense, but we talk about it all the time. Every year, it's not about how good the player is. It's about how shiny the numbers are. We saw it again last year with Trayvon Diggs. You know, Diggs was bottom 5 in pretty much every cornerback stat, but he had 11 picks. And so he was an all pro. Whereas AJ Terrell, who allowed like 250 yards last year in passing, wasn't an all pro, which is just absurd.
Of course, we talk about football on this podcast. Today we are talking Jets odds. Football's fun, but I'd like to take a minute to talk about something a little bit more serious. And that's when you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. And then a few becomes a few too many. And as the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. But no, you live nearby. You think you can make it home okay. You think it's no big deal. What are the chances you're going to get pulled over, you think? And even so, what's the worst that can happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car, you kill somebody. Everybody knows about the risks of drunk driving. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that does not stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. And it's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads. And they're doing it to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or somebody else's forever. And please, if you're a listener of mine, I care about you. Don't drink and drive. Make sure you have a ride home. Make sure you've planned ahead. Please, please just don't do it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Any further thoughts? I know you're a big Jets fan heading into this season. Anything else you'd like to touch on before we depart today?
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that odds makers are so high on most of the Jets players. I do, because it usually means that they think that there is enough core talent there that the team should be more competitive going forward. Like, it's not every day that a team has 3 guys ranked in the top 7 for Rookie of the Year ballots and top 15 on the odds market for 4 guys. So we'll talk about this more probably next year. With guys like Hall and Wilson and Johnson and Gardner and how high everybody is on all of them, if this draft class turns out the way sports books think it will, then the Jets basically built a core in a single year. And that is going to be, you know, something that could be franchise altering.
And I say this all the time. The odds makers aren't always right, but when I'm wrong about something, you know, it doesn't really make that big of a difference in my life. The odds makers need to be right more often than they're wrong. Otherwise, they lose money.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I mean, Jermaine Johnson's an interesting one. So, you know, we kind of glossed over him as we were talking to Sauce, but Jermaine Johnson is 5th on the defensive rookie of the year ballot or on odds market. And he has the 7th most bets placed on him. You know, we talk a lot about how these rookie edge rushers sometimes struggle to get to the quarterback because they're not given enough playing time because, you know, they're not well-rounded. That shouldn't be an issue for Johnson, who was really, you know, strong in the running game. And it was his passing attack that kind of threw people off because he got a bunch of sacks without a lot of pressures or quarterback hits. And so if he has a good enough run defense to get on the field more regularly, even if it's as a rotational player, and right now you would expect him to kind of be the 4th edge rusher behind Lawson, Franklin Myers, and Jacob Martin, who has had a phenomenal camp. But if he's out there on the field enough, you know, all it takes is, you know, 10 plays in a 17-game season to put together 10 sacks. Like, we think about that a lot, you know, how those numbers are really great. It doesn't take a lot. It's, you know, one play every game and things really change.
All right, well, Kyle Newman of Odds Checker, great to have you on as always. Can't wait to do this again at some point in the future.
Yeah, always happy to be on, John.
That's all for our episode today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. Big shout out to subscribers to this show. And to join that group, just hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching. You'll get notifications as new episodes are posted. You'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, please give the show a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source, or a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. These are things that help the channel out and helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to close out the week.